Okay, welcome to the Grey Cricketers special series, Life Outside Cricket, where we catch up with Australian cricketers and try to get under the hood of their life and careers beyond cricket. Who knew cricketers had lives outside the game and possessed knowledge and interest in matters beyond wickets and runs? I certainly didn't. We're doing this in conjunction with the Australian Cricketers Association in promotion of Careers Week. And of all the people we're speaking to during this week, my personal view is today's guest tops the lot when it comes to the jaw-dropping balance she manages to strike between playing professional cricket and maintaining a professional career. Before we start, you'll notice Higos isn't here. I basically didn't permit him to be part of this conversation because I wanted it all to myself. Also, he's unwell. So let's meet her. Today we're talking to Georgia Redmayne, who has been on the state, so cricketing-wise, has been on the state scene for 7 years now. Has played for New South Wales, Tassie, Queensland, as well as the Hurricanes, the Scorchers and the Heat. I've probably missed some there, not to mention appearances for Australia A as well. In women's List A cricket, she averages 53 with the bat, 6 tonnes and 850s to her name. In T20, she averages 24 with 850s. She's not content with that, though. She balances that with keeping, too. Balance is a theme of today, with 76 catches and 44 stumpings across both formats. In 2017-18, she was awarded Cricket Australia's Betty Wilson Young Cricketer of the Year, and you will struggle to believe how she's achieved all of this while doing the job that she does. It's a pleasure to welcome Georgia Redmayne to the show. Hey, Georgia.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
No worries. So for the benefit of the listeners, I'll ask you rather than say it myself, what is your career outside cricket?
Yeah, so I'm 3 years postgraduate now and I'm a junior doctor.
Okay, so with that in mind, shall I address you as Dr. Redmayne for the remainder of this interview?
You don't need to, but you could have done it at the start in the intro, but you don't need to continue doing
well,
that.
Well, that's where my mind immediately went, because it's a sick mind. The most important question to answer from the top, this is the one that, you know, listeners will be screaming into their earphones, is, you know, do you insist on your teammates addressing you as Dr. Redmayne as and when it suits you?
No. I think sometimes they try to, or like at formal events. We had our Queensland formal awards and like the table list had Dr. George Redmayne. I'm like, that is definitely not something that needs to be there. So, but no, generally not. I think, you know, it comes up every now and then as a bit of a joke. But yeah, no, not on the everyday level. I try to keep the doctor stuff separate from the cricket stuff.
It's extraordinary that you do manage to do this. And, just on a personal level, and I just said this to you off air, so my wife's a pediatrician, so I've sort of seen the insane commitment that doctors demonstrate every day, all the way through from when you commence studying to into your career, which you're into. So I just asked her, what would she ask if she had could ask you one question? And it is just a really straightforward one. And I know you've answered it many, many times before in other interviews, but how do you do it? How do you balance being a literal doctor, a physician with elite sport?
Yeah, I think there could be a very long answer there, yes. Very complicated one, because, yeah, it's not always easy. But, yeah, the short answer is probably just time management. And a bit of luck. But, yeah, I think at the moment you're probably, yeah, probably surprised you to know I probably have a bit more free time, which is probably the first time in about 6 years since I started doing my uni degree. So, I've been pretty lucky. And, yeah, for 2 years after when I started working, I was at the Tweed Hospital, and I was kind of doing half the year full-time work, half the year kind of part-time, and then would take, you know, 10 weeks off to go play in the Big Bash. And, pretty lucky that the hospital were okay with that. Sometimes that shocks me. I think sometimes I look back and wonder how I got through uni or how I, managed to work and play. But I've had, I guess, a lot of really supportive people around me. And I think sometimes it's quite funny how powerful the whole cricket thing is. Sometimes you'd say like, I'm not going to be around for the first 3 weeks of uni. And you see like the horrified expression and they're like, I'm playing the Big Bash. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. So, you kind of get away with it when you have, I guess, a lot of tutors and lecturers who are big cricket fans. So that helps.
There's so many questions. I want to come back to that and later around attitudes from different people, different stakeholders across both of those pursuits about the other one. But I'll just keep it silly for now. Like, so from a grade cricket perspective, there's this, you know, and you would know this, you know, there's a certain status afforded to players who turn up to training in a suit. You know, it's 6 o'clock, everyone's there playing, and then someone rocks up in a suit. It's like, oh, they've got a job. And, you know, they may have bought that suit at Lowe's 30 minutes before just for the status. They don't have a job at all, but that's what they do. And it inserts you a little bit higher up the pyramid. So I guess what I'm asking is what happens when you turn up to training in scrubs?
Yeah, scrubs and the stethoscope. Yeah. I haven't tried it quite yet, but I think at our Queensland Fire trainings, at least, they're probably more used to Laura Kimmins turning up in scrubs because she's an ED nurse. So I'm not right. sure I'd get quite the same effect because it's, you know, been there, done that before. So I think one time I had to turn up and do a photo or something in scrubs and a stethoscope, and I copped a bit then. But I haven't tried it at the club trainings, probably because I find it hard to get there because I'm under working.
I just
go for the avoid club training trick anyway.
So. Yeah, that's good. What's club training? that was the trick answer. Gideon Haig interviewed you in 2017, Georgia, and he put it this way. He said, some players hope to develop a life outside cricket. Georgia Redmayne is developing cricket outside her life. Would that be a fair assessment of your approach to it, or is it an ever-evolving thing?
Yeah, I think it is quite an ever-evolving thing. I think at that point when I was interviewed by Gideon, I think my fifth year of uni, so second last year, and had just had my first year playing cricket. So I was very new to the whole kind of state and Big Bash scene. And before then, I never even dreamed of being a professional cricketer. It was just like a hobby that I did, played club cricket, mostly in Sydney on the side whilst I was studying at UNSW, and kind of had a bit of a easier uni year doing research, played down in Tassie, had a good full season there. And then I'm suddenly like, oh, I actually really enjoyed this. And, you know, there now is a possible career path in the cricket, which, you know, when I was at school or first couple of years uni, women's cricket was not professional at all. So, yeah, I feel like as it's gone on, I guess it's been a bit more fluid in that I guess cricket's been a bit more demanding and, you know, becoming more and more professional. So I've been able to, I guess, balance it out, probably meet in the middle a little bit more and try to do enough, I guess, on the medicine side of things that, you know, I passed my exams and got the degree and got my internship and things, and now I'm just kind of in the period where now that I'm registered and I guess more set up, I can take my time a bit more with the career side of things and can put a bit more time into the cricket. So yeah, I'm pretty lucky at the moment that I've kind of done those hard yards, so I can take a little bit more time off now and spend a bit more time in the cricket and try to get better at my game, and can go back and try to specialise when I feel like it, I guess.
Yeah, and like, I'm sure a lot of people could empathise with the idea of like being at school and everyone's like, what do you want to be when you grow up, you know, and you're sort of meant to reply with one thing or even what's your dream. And I'm really curious about where that is for you, because especially sort of knowing my wife as I do and knowing a few other doctors and the sort of attitude it takes to make it as a doctor and then to do so as an elite sports person as well, I think both pursuits attract certain types of personalities that are very focused, obviously very efficient around their time management. And I can only guess, I suppose I'd like to ask what sort of attitude it's taken from you to actually kind of demand to do both, as into, because you would have people around you who would say, no, you'd have to do one to get the best out of yourself, because they perhaps can't understand the idea of juggling both. Like are you at home at the end of the day saying, no, I can do both. I can do what other people don't think I can do. I know that's a clumsy way of asking, but I'm just curious about your attitude, the sort of personality that takes.
Yeah, I think, obviously, I guess by the time I was finishing up at uni and about to start work, it probably came to a bit of a head where I was at with my cricket, and had quite a few difficult conversations with people, like you were saying, no, you can't work if you want to continue playing cricket. And you can't try to do both, because then you'll end up doing a bad job of both. Mm. So I'm kind of that stubborn person who was like, no, all my life I've been playing cricket or sport and going through school, uni, and I kind of knew what I had to do, I guess, from a medicine point of view, whereas I think maybe some people in the cricket circles didn't really understand quite how that worked and I think just being able to talk to the people in the hospital as well, and trying to arrange that part time and time off, and try to come up with solutions for them rather than just saying, "Hey, I'm playing cricket, I'm going." Kind of planning the year out and probably doing the hard work for them in that sense, in terms of a like administration type thing. So, I think and some people in medicine as well at uni, they're like, "Wait, what do you mean you're playing cricket? When are you going to specialize or do this or do that?" But in saying that, there's probably so many more people who've been way more supportive and have really helped me through, and really helped me with catching up on tutorials or lectures or just being able to help the timetable at work, and to allow me to just go away for 10 weeks in a big bash bubble in Sydney. I've been pretty lucky from that perspective. And yeah, I feel just where I'm set up at the moment with Queensland Cricket, they're so supportive, and I'm kind of, I'm heading off. I'm doing more casual stuff now this year, now that I've kind of got through, I guess, the first couple of years working in the hospital. So just, going off for 4 weeks to work on a casual job kind of during the pre-season, they've been really supportive and encouraged me to do what I can.
Yeah, I suppose the first thought that some people might have is that if George is busy as a physician or doing the ward rounds, and she can only come to training to take a couple of catches as the light's fading and she hasn't able to not able to have a net, they might think, "Oh, well, her cricket is compromised." But I just wonder if paradoxically, there are advantages to your cricket of actually having a life or a proper intellectual pursuit outside the game. I mean, have you found that? Do you think it can be beneficial to people to actually be able to bring other experiences into their elite sports environment?
Yeah, I think I think it's something we probably see more in the women's game than the men's, obviously, just because of the levels of professionalism at the moment. But it just really enables, we've got teachers, nurses, physios, everything really, enables just that bit more of a well-rounded, lifestyle, and kind of gives you a little bit of perspective that, cricket's not everything. And, if you go out and club cricket and get a duck on Saturday or Sunday, it's not the end of the world when you go back to work and, you've had five patients die over the weekend at the same time. So, it does give that bit of perspective. And I really like, as you were saying, maybe not training if she's working all day, and then I just have to go do my own kind of gym or running or skills kind of independently at times. But I think it provides me a bit of balance and, helps me get out of a bit of the pre-season fitness stuff if I'm not there too. So that's always a plus.
There's that famous line with Keith Miller about what pressure really is, and a Messerschmitt up your ass kind of thing. And I'd imagine that's the same if you're going out to bat. You just gave that example the other day. That example of what it's like, being on the patient rounds. Like, do you find you're a lot more relaxed going out to bat if there's some real life stuff happening at work?
Yeah, and probably both ways too. Like sometimes if I'm at work and I'm feeling a bit stressed, I'm like, well, at least I'm not facing the opening quick or something. at the game, it provides that perspective. I don't have, the scary consultants staring down my throat checking I've done everything right and grilling me on medical questions. So, I think both ways it provides a bit of perspective, and also keeps my life a bit fresh when I can just flick from one, life to the other one. So it doesn't get too stale. And yeah, I'm kind of, while both can be quite stressful, it's being able to change between two gives me a little bit of relief.
Oh yeah, it must be so much stress between both in their own ways. So I played soccer with a doctor as well about a decade ago, and he once, he was a defender, and he once accidentally knocked out a player attempting to win a header and then immediately commenced treating him. While he was on the ground, there's famously a lot of time for chat in cricket. So how often do teammates inappropriately turn to you for medical advice? And then how much time do you spend taking patient histories with them while you or they wait to bat?
Well, my kind of best solution to that is just make sure I'm batting the whole time, so I don't have to be on the side. and have to talk medical, ask someone to look at their rash or something, you know.
It happens, but, doesn't it? Like, that my wife gets it all the time. She get like a DM from someone she hasn't spoken to, or she'll get them from my mates, and then she's not able to tell me that that's actually happened. But they're expecting a diagnosis for something that she has no background on as well. So do you get that as well?
Have any visual on it as well? Like, I think I've had a few teammates already. We're in off season at the moment, but one's asked me about their kind of cough and cold symptoms and like what they should be doing on holiday, and another's asked me about an ear infection. So I'm still getting it, even though I'm not even training with the girls at the moment. So I'm still, I guess, the on-call doctor in a way, or asking me how to get scripts, and I'm like, well, I'm not at a hospital at the moment, so I don't just own a script pad, I can write you something. You have to go see an actual working doctor. So it's funny when people kind of come to you and expect, because you have a medical degree, you're now like the fountain of wisdom and have all knowledge and know everything. And I'm like, no, I don't know everything. I'm literally only just kind of a few years out of uni, and I'm not specialized in anything. I've got a very basic knowledge of a broad level of things, but not too much specialized knowledge. So, yeah, some people just expect you to know absolutely everything medical related, which I find quite funny.
I bet. And I suppose you don't have the same amount of people when you're at hospital coming up to you asking you how you access the leg side, just with the way they hold the bat or anything.
Yeah, actually, it's really funny. I think my first week working as an intern, I think I had two or three, like we had like an orientation week. So I kind of got to spend like maybe two or three days with my consultant, who was my boss, you know, like I'm the 50, 60 year old guy, knows everything. And I don't think he spoke a single word to me those first couple of days. And then I had to take a few days off because I was playing in a round of WNCL, and I arrived back the next Monday and he's like, so you got runs on the weekend?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So someone must have told him I was away playing. He's probably like, where is my intern? And someone must have told him I was away playing cricket. And suddenly he's looked up my results on cricket.com and said that I batted really well on the weekend. And I don't think he'd even introduced himself to me before that. So that kind of made the relationship nice going forward for my first term.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
We'd always talk about cricket every Monday and ask how I went over the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Getting the gossip as well. What's going on? Yeah. So I know like resident doctors like regularly called over to observe a consultant or a registrar examine, like on game day or at training, like if a player has an injury or a teammate has an injury, does the sports doctor often bring you over to help you understand what's happening? Because I understand you're interested in sports medicine and going down that path as well. So do you get a bit of dual career action happening at the same time?
Not really, to be honest. I feel like we haven't really had too many, I guess, serious incidents on the field. And most of it's kind of just physio stuff. So I've kind of – we have, like, another physio in our team as well and, you know, as physio students. So there's usually a few people kind of in, I guess, the health group in our team. I think before our WNCL final, it was quite funny, actually. We had this COVID scare. We all had to get swabbed the night before, and I got a message from the team physio being like, oh, can you do swabs? Yeah, I can do swabs. So they thought that they'd have to get myself and, Laura Kimmins, who was the ED nurse, to swab the whole team. But luckily CA had some staff who could do it for us, because I thought that would have been funny having us go around swab our teammates. It would have been quite a funny experience, actually. I reckon I would have enjoyed it.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's funny.
You mentioned this earlier, but like, oh, you know, if you want to specialise, you can't play cricket as much as you want. I mean, is there sort of a path for you with your medicine that you want to go down? I've noticed you mentioned sports medicine before. Is that where you want to take your career?
Yeah, like I'm not entirely sure yet where I want to go. I kind of figure that I don't really want to specialise whilst I'm still playing, just because I feel like it's hard enough balancing time at the moment as it is, let alone having to fit exams and everything else into that. So, I think sports medicine, I obviously have an interest in, but I'm not sure whether that's just because I just love sport.
Yeah.
or whether I love sports. The medicine, but Yeah, it certainly seems like it'd be a good mix of, I guess, my two kind of sport and like, or cricket and medicine. So I feel like it would be a good fit, but I probably want a bit more, I guess, experience and exposure before I kind of make that decision. And I mostly just find things that I don't like at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough.
So things like, when you start actually working, you see the proper training pathway, and it all sounds grand when you're at medical school, but once you actually get there and see the hours that some of these kind of training registrars work, it's quite you're like, nope, I don't want to go into their pathway. That looks hideous. But it's certainly interesting, and I'm probably someone who enjoys more the lifestyle balance than, say, kind of the big high-end specialties, I'd say.
Fair enough. I mean, I'll ask you this. I don't know if this is something that will be relevant to you, but how do you where do you sort of place cricket's position in relation to medical issues at the moment? So, say concussion was on the radar last year in relation to Will Pekowski in the men's game. Do you think cricket has it right when it comes to their concussion protocols? Is it something you follow closely, or is it lazy for me to ask you that merely because you're a doctor?
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think Cricket Australia are really good at that type of thing. They put in a lot of research projects as well, and I've actually been able to peek at a few of them, which is pretty cool, through John Orchard, who's the CA Chief Medical Officer. So, they're obviously putting in the research, and I think, you know, so much is still unknown about all the head knocks. And, for someone like Will Pekowski, he's had, you know, so many, I think kind of it's probably better to be cautious. And, I think the protocol that we have is pretty good. Obviously, it's not perfect, but it's kind of hard to be perfect on these type of things. So it's probably good to be cautious, and, you know, we're probably in a better situation than, you know, some of the football codes, I'd say.
Well, I think you're just an amazing exemplar of time management and determination, and also stubbornness to be able to hold two things at the same time and do really well. You know, what is in the immediate future for you in terms of both of the pursuits? Is it a case of just going as hard as you can at both and balancing them as well as you can, or is one taking precedence over the other at the moment? What's your attitude towards that?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I'm still trying to, I guess, the last couple of years I was on a 2-year contract and trying to work, and it was probably a bit more of a half-half depending on what time of the year it was. Obviously, cricket kind of takes more focus in the summer and medicine more kind of in that autumn, winter. So, yeah, I think at the moment I'm not on a permanent role. I'm kind of taking more casual roles as I can, so that'll hopefully just free me up a bit more. I've moved up to Brisbane, which I was working on the Gold Coast before. So I'll be able to be around the squad a bit more and, really kind of frees me up to, you know, try to give cricket a bit of a crack for the next year or two and see where I can get.
Well, it's been an absolute honour, Dr. Redman, to have you on The Great Cricketer. Not a sentence I'd imagine saying a few years ago. All the best in both of your pursuits, and congratulations on doing them both at the same time. And to those who don't think that's possible, well, look at you.